We good?
Yeah. Wait, why are we doing a bonus episode?
Because...
just for the end of the year?
Yeah, it's just for the end of the year. It's a, you know, special little treat because everyone else is doing, like, websites are doing their end of the year game lists and best games of the year. And we figured I wanted to do something that, like, wrapped up our games.
Okay.
When I say our games, I mean...
your games.
Yeah.
And, like, okay. Because I was just like, we did a Christmas special. Well, we didn't do a Christmas special, but we gave them episode zero, like... why are we giving them more bonus content?
Hey.
Patreon. This needs to go on a Patreon.
We don't have a Patreon yet. We need fans before we can make a Patreon.
That's
but this would go on a Patreon if we had one.
Maybe that should be our, like, resolution for the next year is to, like...
make a Patreon?
That's a little bit ambitious. I still want underwear ads. It's a gamer. We're here. It's a gamer. That's it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with...
Harvey Z, in the place to be.
And this is a special bonus episode. It's going to go... you're welcome. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for talking over me.
I know.
Just like you always do.
Sorry.
We're here... this one's going to be shorter than the usual ones. We'll try to cut it out at about 30 minutes. Just a nice little bonus episode for your Christmas week. This is coming out, should be coming out the day after Christmas.
Okay.
So hopefully everyone has had some nice gifts, spent some time with the family, or didn't, if you'd rather not do that.
Or a happy Hanukkah or a non-denominational holiday.
Yeah, happy non-denominational everything, you know. Hopefully you have the week off from work. If you don't...
nope. Harvey's is working. Day after Christmas, day before Christmas. Yeah.
I at least have the day before Christmas off, but I am going back to work day after Christmas. So, yeah. All right. So we're just going to get right into it since this is going to be a shorter, quick episode. Basically, we're just going to talk about the favorite games of the year. Harvey Z, you have exactly one game to share with the crowd.
I have more, but then you... quietly pointed out to me that they were not made this year.
Yeah, we're trying to focus it on 2018. We know
otherwise, XCOM 2, that whole expansion thing, apparently did not come out this year.
No, it came out in 2017.
And apparently, like, mobile games, they all came out the previous year. And my other game, Civilization 6, didn't come out this year. But, on a technicality, the Civilization 6 Rise and Fall was the expansion... did come out this year, and I just played it last weekend. So, game of the year by default. A technical knockout.
All right, well, so how was Civilization VI then? Since even though it's the technical game of the year...
yes. I would say... so, I know I previously talked about Civ 6. Civ 5 was a classic. I really enjoyed it. Civ 6, I was like, eh, it's lacking. I don't really have any characters that I identify with. As usual with the Civilization franchise, adding in an expansion really made it more playable. I like the governor feature. So, like, that was a new thing that they added in. Basically, the governor feature was there's, like, six or seven different types of specific governors that you can put into a town. And if you put them into the town, each governor kind of has a specialty ranking leveling up system where they can get promotions to get more additional skills. But, like, one governor is good for the economy, one governor is great for religion, one governor is good for, like, diplomacy and so forth. So you can make a town even more sub-specialized by putting in a governor, and then you have to get the civic kind of duty points to...
you said duty.
God. Yeah, like civic points, which normally gives you, like, government features or, like, your culture, if you will. That will, you can get and earn promotions instead. And you can either use the promotions to buy new governors. So you can have a whole bunch of level one governors for each one of your towns. Or you can have two or three governors that reach like level three or level four status. And they can really boost that town's economy.
Interesting.
It was an interesting feature. And it made then each town like more personalized in a way. Because now I suddenly had like, this is my religion town. This is my military town. And it wasn't just, oh, this is my military overall. It's like, this town has the governor in it that I really need to protect. And also, like, should I, like, be besieged or such, I need to evacuate the governor. I need to get him out. And it takes a couple rounds. But if I do that, then the city will shut down.
The shitty city.
Yes. it will shut down for a while I transfer him like a spy or any other thing. Yeah. It's an interesting feature. They added in a whole bunch of new, more playable characters that I actually like playing with civilization wise, more Native Americans, which is always like, I like playing as them in the past. So mm-hmm. it's pretty interesting in that sense.
Who's your favorite civilization?
Ooh.
Like, not necessarily six, but just like in general.
In general, oh man, who was the guy? I think it was in Civ 5, it was the Native Americans, the, was it the Sioux? No.
The Iroquois?
Who was the other ones besides the Iroquois?
Oh, jeez.
It was the piece, they were the ones who, when you started out, if they took over, their cities were just bigger.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shoot, I can't remember.
They're not very militaristic. Their special unit was the Scout. And their scout would basically, if it went into a village, you could pick what benefit you got at what sequence.
Yeah, I remember that. I like them too. I can't remember the name.
Yeah.
Zulu? No.
Nope. They were Native Americans. They were not the Iroquois. Would it have been the Iroquois? Now it's one of those things where it's like, you need to Google this because it's going to bother me for the rest of it. We can pause it here.
It was one of the...
expansions.
Expansion editions, yeah. Right? Yeah, because it wasn't in the original.
Yeah.
I think that was just like partially the Blues Clues theme. I didn't mean for that to be what I did.
Didn't that guy die? This is not on the podcast, but I think that guy died.
Are you sure it's not on the podcast? Because I think we're recording it.
They don't need this much silence on us.
Like a Shoshone.
30... Ah.
And see, now I just put that in there at the end, so we have to include the rest of it.
So yeah, I think that dude died, but Shoshone.
Okay, so it's the Shoshone.
They had the additional territories.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's them. I like them. They were my favorite Civ in, I think, Civ 6. Otherwise, I would usually play as... I really liked Venice, just for the bullshit of Venice, where you couldn't expand, but you could just send like people to capture city-states.
That one was fun just because it was a different... made you play a different way than you normally do.
And I don't tend to play super militaristic, but Venice could get really amusingly militaristic if you played it right, where you attack me, all my city-states are going to produce military armies and stuff. And
Exactly.
Yeah, it was nice.
I don't really have a favorite Civ off the top of my head. It's been a while since I've played 5, though. I think I tended to... I don't like military, so I definitely wouldn't go for a military one. Usually I went with one that got, like, bonuses.
Science? Like Koreans?
Or to wonders, usually, because I'm a wonder fanatic.
That's usually, like, Egypt, if I remember.
Something like that, yeah. Anyway, anything else on Civ 6?
On Civ 6? No, it's a great game. I think there's another expansion coming out.
Yeah, there's a new expansion for it coming out next February. Oh. So it can be your game of the year for 2019 if that's all you play.
I'm hoping that... Well, I can't count XCOM because I was like, I'm going to play XCOM and beat that. But yeah, I guess I need to move on from my gaze, which is games of the year for me. It's like XCOM, Toe Jam and Earl, and like whatever's floating in the third spot, which I guess would be a game from whatever year it is.
Toe Jam and Earl is just always in the top three.
Next year, they could actually be Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah, it could be.
All right. Well, that's Harvey Z's best of, I suppose, for the year.
We talked about Civilization 6.
Nope, that also came out early. Damn it. I was like, Heat Signature.
It was 2017.
This has been all day. This is all it's been. Every game. I mean, leaving the country for like 6 months will do this to you.
Yeah, but it's fair. And we stopped doing the Let's Play YouTube, so I couldn't even, like...
Yeah.
You couldn't join in with me. And we haven't even got a chance to play Smash Brothers yet, so you can't even count that.
Claim that one. Yeah. So, Civ 6, Rise and Fall, wins by technical knockout. So, to the more interesting one, what do you have for games of the year?
So,
or standout games?
It was hard for me to decide how I wanted to do this. Like, I was thinking, do I want to do categories, like best of, and have like a category and put my favorite and things like that. But I think eventually I just decided I'm just going to do a top five. And I'm going to do a top five with a game of the year because I do have a game of the year.
Separate from the five, or is number one?
Number one and then four others, is what we'll settle on.
Should we start bottom up? Or?
Well, the other four aren't going to be ordered. Like, there's my game of the year, and then the rest of the top five... Like
nominees.
Yeah, the nominees. Yeah, okay. The nominees are What should we call these? The make me a gamies?
The gamies.
The gamies?
That sounds a little weird. I was like the teammate. I was originally going
to
go teammate.
It sounds like we're just delivering really bad steak to people. Like, here's your gamies.
Ugh. See, I was going with teammanies, but teammanies also sounds like too many syllables and it got weird.
Teammanies?
Because T-man and the T-mans.
No, I mean, no, not the T-manies.
Like the...
The manatees?
It's a horror. There's no real reason it should be called the manatees. But for all that reason, yes. Why okay. not? All End right. the shitty year on the manatees.
We're the 2018 manatees. That's what we're going to be doing right now.
It makes like no one
makes no
game
sense.
Game of the year. This game of the year, but we're going to call it the manatees. So yeah. Fuck you. I'm going to go hostile now just from the...
Hey man, you're like pre-gaming the Twitter fight, you know? Like I'm already angry, but this yeah. is what we're calling it.
I'm on your side, goddammit. This makes no fucking sense, but we're doing it anyway. Manatees. Right.
The manatees. Let's go. Manatee. The nominanity?
The humanity.
Oh, the humanity. First nominee. I'm going to get this one out of the way because it's pretty much, it's winning a lot of the Game of the Year awards. It's head to head with Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh.
In terms of like website Game of the Years. Not my personal Game of the Year, but
I thought this would have been your Game of the Year.
Nope.
Oh.
So of course I'm talking about God of War.
Mm-hmm. Boy.
Boy. Yeah. It was the first game of the year that really grabbed me and pulled me in. It's very well directed. It does this real cool cinematography thing where like everything in the game is one shot. It's like an over the shoulder. And then during cutscenes, it'll like spin around or like move mm-hmm. so you can see more stuff. But the entire sequence is one long shot.
So aesthetically, it was
quite yeah, good. It was really cool that they did that without breaking the camera and things like that. It was also pleasing to have a God of War game that I didn't hate Kratos in. You know, he was more mature and clear and not like a super duper dick, which he was like by the end of God of War 3, you don't really want to be playing as the guy anymore. Like he's just nasty for the sake of being nasty.
He's just bitter.
Yeah. And it's like it's a revenge story part 3 or part 6 or whatever, and that's boring. Mm-hmm.
But this is also, if I recall, a revenge story of sorts.
Not really. Like the story starts his wife has died, just natural causes.
Oh, I thought like someone murdered her.
No, like... she's like the story starts with they're doing the funeral rites and like burning her. Uh-huh. And her last request was to spread her ashes at the top of the highest mountain in the land. And so the journey, the plot of the game is you're taking the ashes to go spread and then get caught up in nonsense along the way. Kratos is kind of like, this isn't our problem. We need to we're doing this for your mother.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so it's the back and forth of the boy who's like he's good.
We must save them.
Yeah. He's like trying to, and while Kratos is grizzled and old and the thing I really like about the game, aside from all the other stuff I've talked about, the Leviathan Axe, which is the main weapon you have for the game, feels so good to fight with and to use. It works a lot like Thor's hammer from Marvel, where you know he can call it back to him, and just the way the buttons work and all the controls on moving.
So this game hit multiple points of like the combat, the aesthetics.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, the story was good. I enjoyed the Norse mythology and the take on that instead of the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was just overall a very well done game. I enjoyed playing with it. I don't know. I've thought about going back and platinuming it. There's like a couple really hard bonus fights that I never did. And some collectibles to pick up and things like that. I could easily see myself playing through. I think they added New Game Plus a couple months after I'd finished it. And so it'd be fun to go back and just do that. It's a fun game.
Yeah, I from what you had told me in the past and stuff, I would have thought Surefire, that was game of the year.
It was close. It was it's the top five. It was one of the nominees. So we'll move on. Because a lot of people are going to be talking about God of War as the game of the year.
Okay, so it's a popular choice.
It's a very popular choice. Like I said, right now I think it's for overall of one of websites that have released like a collaborative list that actually ranks them with a number one. I think God of War and Red Dead Redemption 2 are neck and neck. I think God of War has a couple more right now.
Okay.
You know, just for the list war people at home who want to know which one got the most accolades. The next game, going to take a bit of a shift. Next game is not a very complicated game. It's not top-of-the-line graphics. It's not story at all, really.
An underdog pick almost? Or a...
It's not an underdog pick because it's showing up on a lot of people's top tens and whatnot.
Oh.
But it's I don't think it's one... It's not popular enough to take over, you know, the rock stars and the Sony Santa Monicas of the world. It's called Into the Breach, which I think I've told you about.
Yeah.
I've put like 30 some hours into it now. It's real fun. It's a puzzle strategy game. You've got three mechs. Then you have to fight these bug aliens that are look kind of something out of Starship Troopers. And it's like a small grid that you can move around on, and it's almost more like a puzzle game than a strategy tactical game, although there is a little bit of tactics. But you can see the way it works is you can see how the everything the bugs are going to do. You get to move your guys and attack, and then they all take their turn attacking and then move to do their next attack. It's a fun game because as you go through, you unlock different like sets of mechs. They come in sets of three. And eventually, once you have them all unlocked, like from the beginning, you can mix and match them. But once you have them all unlocked, you can really start mixing and matching. You can do random or you can customize. Okay. You can go out with three of the same if you want to just test yourself. And so it has a lot of replayability because...
This is one of those games where I've been curious about it. And I'm just waiting, actually. It's on my list of like... If it ever goes on like one of those ridiculous Steam sales, like I would grab it probably. I'm just waiting partially because I have other things to play. If it turned into a mobile game, I don't think it would, but it seems like if it's a
puzzle. I know it's already out on Switch. So like adding to your, if you get a Switch, you could probably get it on that. And I'm sure it'll be on sale on Steam sooner than later.
Yeah, it almost seems like if it was on the phone, I would totally grab it.
Who knows? They might put it on the phone.
But I may just grab it on Steam.
It's by the same people that did FTL. Yeah, and I know you liked FTL.
Yep.
And I think they put FTL on phones, didn't they? Or did they?
Oh, I don't know. I think they might have put it on an iPad, but I don't know. Actually, right. I want to say yes. Actually, they did. But.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye on it. I'll let you know if it goes mobile because. Okay. It won't be free. It'll be.
Which
a
is why I'm like,
game.
I might just want to buy it on a computer just for the. It's a computer game, and it feels more real to buy a computer game versus buying like especially if it was like more than 99 cents.
Yeah, it would.
Which it would probably be like $5 or
going
something.
Back into the mobile discussion.
Yeah.
It's fun. I highly recommend it for anyone who enjoys that kind of like tactical strategy, puzzle game type thing where you have to like sit and think and plan out your moves. I'm not a real time strategy person. I like taking my time and analyzing things. And you get one reset every battle, like a temporal reset that lets you reset the turn if you make a mistake. And you're like, oh, I could have done this better. You have small window of error, but I've probably lost as many games as I've won at this point. I can pretty much routinely get... I've gotten to the point where regardless of what set of mechs I have, I can get to like the end battle if I... So just real quick, when you play the game, there are four islands for you to save. And you can go to the final island and finish the mission after you've saved two islands.
Oh.
So I can routinely, at the very least, get to two islands and take on the final island if I want to.
Is it advantageous to do...
It depends. I think you get a better score or something. Like, part of the way you unlock new mechs is to get the achievements, like the Steam achievements. And so each mech set has three different achievements you can get. And then there are a bunch of like global achievements. And these achievements are, a lot of those are like, do something in all four islands or do something in three islands. So to unlock the different mech sets, you eventually have to go for all four islands. But a lot, once you're just playing for fun, if you're not testing your own skills or whatever, you can finish your run anytime. Sometimes you have a run that you're doing all right, but if you stretch it to like the third or fourth island where it gets super difficult, you're probably going to end up like losing. So just go ahead and see if you can finish it now and then come back for another run.
That seems very familiar because that's how in FTL, to unlock the spaceships, each of the new spaceships had like achievements in game that you had to do with the old spaceships.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So that's number two. We'll move on to number three. We're just rolling through here. We're not wasting much time. Number three, we dedicated an entire podcast to it. You had a lot of questions. I had a lot of answers.
Which one?
Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Ah, yeah. Yes.
This one was the hardest for me, I think, to choose. Because like I was waffling back and forth, but then I realized I put like 80 to 90 hours in this game. And
I keep forgetting that this is an Assassin's Creed game. This is like the Greek game of like you're just exploring. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an Assassin's Creed game. And I put a lot of time into it. And like it was basically the only game I played for a whole month. And that's pretty impressive.
By choice you did that?
Like I was never bored. Okay. I was never like, oh, I'm just doing this to finish it. It engaged me. It was fun. Like it was a good game. Okay. And after a while, I was like, you know what? Like, it feels like I've never been a huge fan of the Assassin's Creed franchise, but this was a good game. I liked it. Screw the haters.
I forgot about this one. I'd forgotten. Like, I wouldn't have put this on if I had to guess what your top five were. Wouldn't have thought again, I keep thinking it's the Odyssey. And so I'm like, oh, it's that Greek one, but it's an Assassin's Creed game. Yeah.
We did the podcast when I was about 20 to 30 hours into it. So I have a more complete perspective on it.
Did it get better or it stayed the same or?
It had its ups and downs. It was mostly good. I think I reached level 50 well before I had finished everything. There's a whole, like, I think there's like four or five islands I didn't even get to yet. Like areas of the map that are just gray because I didn't even go to them. It was good though. If anything, the world was slightly too big.
Okay.
But the quests were fun. There was in about halfway. I say halfway through, but it was like two thirds maybe. There's a quest where you have to escort a competitor to the Olympic Games. His name is Testicles.
Again, with this humor. I remember last time as well with this game. But okay, I mean, it was a name.
So. It was a name. It was just funny hearing that every time a guy said, like, and he was a giant drunk doof. Okay. So it was just funny. There was some poignant quests. I know I've talked a lot about the sex and, like, you know, dirty humor things in this. But there were some interesting quests. There's one weird thing where like it's a game that sort of told you had to make choices and they would affect things later, but the things you did didn't really seem to line up with what it affected later. Like there was this one quest where you had to choose between killing a guy publicly and killing a guy privately, and it affects something you can do way late in the game. Like this is a quest and it was like 30 to 40 hours later when it paid off and I was not able to do something because I had chosen to kill the guy publicly. And so it was
a good way or in a, crap, I regret my decisions kind of way, which would make it even better.
It was a, crap, I regret my decisions kind of way.
Excellent.
But there was absolutely no way I could have foreseen that this was a choice that would have affected something else later in the game, you know? I mean, obviously it's set up in a way that you can think it might change something, but
if you knew the plot and
yeah, but it's not even related to the plot. Like, you're going to some guy, other guy, to get information. He's like, how can I trust you? Because you did this.
Oh, we all saw you.
Yeah, and like, we saw you do this, so I can't trust you. And I'm like, but you're not even related to this. You're like on the other side of the map. How did you hear about this? Yeah, anyway. But overall, I really enjoyed it. I had a lot. It's kind of weird because I was really looking forward to Hitman 2.
Yeah.
And I got it after it came out like a couple days after I'd finished Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and I was almost in Assassin's Creed mode like the first couple times I played Hitman, because I was trying to stealth kill people. Like, I had a completely different setup on how to kill people as an assassin than I would as Agent 47. And so it almost affected my opinion of Hitman 2, because I had spent so much time and had so much fun doing the stealth kills in Assassin's Creed that the other stealth kill game was...
Hitman 2 needs more swords.
Yeah.
So that's what I would have thought was, maybe if I had to guess, I would have put Hitman on the list, not Odyssey. But Odyssey...
No, I think Odyssey beats it out.
Okay. Is Odyssey replayable?
Because
it's a big game.
I don't know if it's replayable. I don't think I'd start over from the beginning, but I don't know if they've done it yet, or they are releasing more DLC for it that's going to expand the level cap. So okay. I can definitely see myself, because I got the edition, the special edition, where I already have the DLC anyway, or like I'll be able to get it for free. I didn't get it for free because I paid for the, you know what I mean? I'll probably go back to it. Because
you said there was a lot that you didn't do.
And stuff that I didn't do. And it's pretty possible for me to get the platinum on that. But I'd have to try and get it, because a couple of the trophies are annoying. But I'll probably return to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm just trying to think of God of War versus Odyssey. Who wins?
That's tough.
I know you didn't want to rank them. They're all your children. You love them all. You know.
I would think God of War beats out Assassin's Creed. Like, I liked God of War for the tight experience. The combat from God of War, I liked. Ranking wise, I think God of War would
that would have been my pick too.
Of the AAA games, I think God of War is better than it.
In my uninformed opinion, it was from the two descriptions and watching bits and pieces, I was like, it sounds like God of War had more reasons to be Game of the Year again, because again, it was more standout, it was more innovative, all that. I mean, Odyssey was pretty unique and stuff as well from what you've told me, but again, I was like, if I had to rank your list, I would have put God of War above it.
Okay, so now we go to the top four. You know what, I'm on the fly here, I'm changing what I'm doing, because we said top five, and I was going to do four plus my game of the year. But I think I'm going to do a top five and then my game of the year, because there's two games that I can't decide between.
A tie.
Yeah, it's maybe almost it's like a tie. It's just a tie. The first one is actually, I just played it over the course of my vacation a couple weeks ago. It was a surprise last minute contender because I wasn't expecting it, but I downloaded it onto my Switch just as something to play, and I ended up using all my free time while I was on vacation playing this game, and it was enjoyable. The soundtrack was amazing. And I did a review for it on my writing website. It's called The Messenger. And
I was wondering if it would make the list.
Yeah, it did. It snuck in there at the very end. Like, it was really good. You've asked me about replaying games, and this game, I really want to replay it. I just finished it, and it has a new game plus, so I can go back and play it a second time. I want to go back and play it again, because I had so much fun moving around that world, and just the 2D to 3D and the music. It was just so much fun.
What is The Messenger for the people out there?
Okay, so The Messenger is this... It's a 2D action platformer. It starts out similar to Ninja Gaiden from the original NES. You're a ninja. You can jump around. You have a special ability called a cloud step, where if you hit something in the midair, you get a double jump. So you can infinitely stay in the air as long as you're hitting something. So you can like bounce off of enemies or things they throw at you, or like these lanterns that are around the world. You can also get like a grappling hook and a wingsuit. So by after a while, you've got a lot of mobility options, and it's just fun. It has platforming that's sort of skilled, but you've always got to watch out for the enemies. But it's not pure platforming, unlike a game like Celeste. Anyway, and the bosses, it has really cool bosses that are fun, like figuring out the patterns and how to attack them, like old school games. Like it evoked a lot of nostalgia without being an actual nostalgia game, like for like a certain style. And then it switches everything up about halfway through.
I was about to say, you mentioned 2D, 3D. Where's the 3D?
No, there's no 3D. Oh. But it goes from 8-bit to 16-bit. Like, it goes... Huh? So, like, it evokes old-school NES-style graphics.
Yeah.
And then there's a time jump where you go to the future, and it represents that by changing into, like, 16-bit SNES graphics.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. And, like, the music changes, too. Like, the music is slightly different and better. And then eventually you end up getting a power that lets you switch back and forth between the past and the future. So you can like see the graphics change as you're switching. Like the enemies will go from like not very detailed sprites to very detailed. Like it's really interesting and fun. I really enjoyed it a lot. I want to play it again. I want to recommend it a lot to a lot of people. I want to get, that's why like the other game is pretty obvious. And was originally going to be the 5, but I can't not talk about this game because I love it so much. Messenger, definitely recommend. High up on my list. And then the other game, last one of my not game of the year top 5 is Super Smash Brothers, obviously.
Oh, didn't think this would make the list because it's too new of a game.
Come on. There's absolutely no way a Super Smash Brothers released in 2018 would not get high up there on my favorites.
So, I mean, why is it on the list?
It's Smash Super Brothers. Smash Brothers.
Just because it's, I mean.
I mean, I had people over. You were unfortunately unavailable, but people came over. We played. We had a great time. It was
still
just,
like the classic Smash feel.
It's party game. It's fun. Like items flying everywhere. People not knowing what the heck is going on. You know, laughing, having a good time. It's just, yeah.
Solo mode, stuff like that, though.
Solo mode has been fun. I've played through about 5 or 6 hours into the World of Light. I've unlocked all the characters in the main area now, but I've only like got like 10, 12 characters in World of Light out of 70-some.
Oh, okay.
So I've got a ways to go. But it's fun. It's basically an event mode. You play against spirits, and so like, but the spirits fights are done in a way with actual fighter characters to make it interesting. Like when I fought against the Metal Gear Rex spirit, it was a giant Rob, and he had the metal, you know, the metal Mario cap thing permanently, so he was heavy and metal. So like, it's just.
And so it's different from just, it's a 1v1 fight or something. Exactly. Which is, okay.
I think I fought something that was like a bunch of, it was from a game I didn't know, but they were a bunch of like little tiny guys. And so I had to fight like 9 miniature Game & Watches just running around all at the same time. You know, so it's just stuff like that. Okay. Yeah, and it's fun. I don't know, like, it doesn't have like that plot grabbing that the Subspace Emissary did from Brawl. So I don't know if it's fun for me to play if I'm just sitting around for like 30 minutes, you know, just get a couple spirits here, fight a couple guys, but the core of the Smash is having people over and playing each other. And it has some interesting modes to it. You know, there's a ton of music. I think it's something like 800 songs or something like that. There's 100 stages. There's like a tag team mode where you can like pick 5 fighters, and once you kill the first one, the second one pops immediately in, so you can have like a tag battle between 2 people. It's a good game. Smash Brothers. Everyone's there. Like they're all back.
So I'll name what I thought was going to be the tie with the Messenger. I thought it was going to be another 2D game I don't know then if this is your game of the year. Another 2D game that you've been playing for a while, Dead Cell.
That one sadly, I wanted to include it.
Yeah.
Like if I had to pick a first runner up or whatever, Dead Cells would be the next one I would talk about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like it was close. Like me playing Messenger probably knocked it out.
Okay.
But yeah, Dead Cells was another really good game. It's an honorable mention, so I'm not going to go into it. But if you're interested in like roguelite platformer type things, Dead Cell.
Now I'm trying to think, what is the game of the year? Oh, of course. We've talked about it. We've had to talk about it on the show.
Okay. Like, I was wondering.
I think I got it now.
I was wondering.
Because like, I got distracted by Messengers and Smash were two that I was not expecting. The Odyssey I get, the Game of War I get. Then this one would have been the third big game of the year, basically.
Yeah, okay. So we're at my game of the year, and it was pretty much a slam dunk for game of the year once I had finished playing it. There wasn't really a chance for other stuff, although if something had really blown me out of the water. Like, The Messenger was great and obviously rocketed into my top five, but it still doesn't beat this one out. So, of course, it's the big game that we haven't... I don't know if we've really talked about it on the podcast.
We've
or
talked
not.
About controversies. We've talked about things related to it.
But
I've watched you play a little bit of it.
Yeah. We are, of course, referencing Marvel's Spider-Man.
Yes.
That I have to give Spider-Man my game of the year. And it's not just because I bought a Spider-Man PS4 Pro. It's not just because... I mean, it is a little bit because I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. But this game... was like
this is based Spider-Man. On the game
yeah
the
this
game,
is based
not,
on the game
not your
itself
fanboyness.
Yeah, it's like the game itself was really well done. It was a real interesting plot. It was one of those things where it didn't rely on twists. Like, you knew what was going to happen, but it was the journey, not the end point. Like, they didn't rely on like some shocking like act two strange thing you never saw coming. Like, it played out pretty straightforward. But, you know, some stories, like, you don't need to have the Shyamalama twist every game. You know, you don't need to have the BioShock, would you kindly, every, you know, to make your game stand out. Spider-Man, it does its comic book plot. It's good. The web-swinging controls are fantastic. Like, I've never had so much fun moving around in an open world.
Okay.
Like, how I said... playing Odyssey for 90 hours ruined Hitman for me because I not ruined, but like it took me a while to adjust. Like, I went from Spider-Man to Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and it felt so bad moving around the world for a while, for like the first 4 or 5 hours of that game, just because I just come off web swinging. Like, you can't web swinging in ancient Greece. You can't do it. But like, it felt so good. That's all I wanted. That's the only way I want to travel in open worlds. Like, the way they did the button controls and everything, like, it kept you engaged in the movement and didn't make you check out, but it also wasn't annoying. Like, one of the things that I hate the most about games and game button controls are games where you have to mash the button to do something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, God of War, the original God of Wars.
That's what I was thinking.
Like, you have to press, mash a button every time you want to open a chest. Like, it's dumb. Or, like, if you want to pull open a door, like, mash the button. Or, like, if something's holding on to you, like, Resident Evil, like, something attacks you and you've got to mash a button to get... Like, I hate it. It doesn't add anything to the game. It just makes you go, oh, God, I gotta get it. And Spider-Man... could have done that with their web swinging, you know? It could have done mash button. On top of that, they give you an option in the game where instead of having to mash a button, like, you can turn on a toggle where you can just hold the button instead of mashing it. Yeah. And that already won my heart. Like, I don't have to mash buttons in this game. I can just hold it down and that's fine. And web swinging also didn't have mashing buttons. Like, you've got a technique to like jumping up and like getting longer boosts.
Oh, it wasn't just push L2, push R2, L2, R2,
L2, R2. No, you can like, if you do a certain button, you'll like swing around like a corner and like slingshot yourself faster. Like, if you hold a button, you'll like dive, you'll do a dive and get more momentum. And then you hit the web swing button at the end to make a bigger arc. So you fly up farther. it feels good. And then, of course, there's all the good Spider-Man stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a great scene in the game where Peter is texting MJ, and it's just a great, like, just 2-minute cutscene sequence of a really great text message scene
mm-hmm.
between two characters that are amazing. Miles Morales and MJ are both in the game, and you both get to play as them. They have, it's a bit of a weird dissonance because, like, you play as Spider-Man for so long and have all these great powers, and then you, like, have to stealth because MJ and Miles don't have any powers or anything. But there's one really cool scene with MJ where, like, Peter is crawling around mm-hmm. and, like, you're like, okay, grab that guy, and he'll, like, shoot his webs out and, like, pull him out so you can move further.
So it's an innovative way to kind of do the standard, oh, you're just a powerless character at
right
point.
Yeah,
okay. And then it's, of course, fun. I'm sure the boss fights and everything.
Oh yeah, the boss fights are really good. The Electro Vulture fight is mm-hmm. probably the favorite because they're both flying, so it's kind of like a web swing. You're web swinging and having to fight them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of tests your skills as to how you've been able to navigate and be mobile in the world. There is the Kingpin fight at the beginning is just it's well done because it's almost a tutorial on how to fight similar enemies that come up later in the game.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, you get, like, the big bruiser enemies, and mm-hmm. Kingpin is just, like, the first of those enemies you fight, and you take him down the same way you would take those enemies down.
That's a creative way to do things where it doesn't have to go into a tutorial. Yeah, I like that, actually, where it's an intuitive, oh, this is he's a boss because he's the big guy, but later they become common enemies, but the Kingpin was tough when you didn't know how to deal with it.
Right, yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah.
So that's your first game of the year, 2018, the game of the year was Spider-Man.
That's it. 2018, my first manatee goes to...
I was like, I didn't want to say it, but I was like, the first... I don't want to give Spider-Man the manatee award, actually.
It's the Spider-Manatee.
Oh, gosh. That's how we end it all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, this was a bonus episode. You've got to hear Harvey Z's single game that he played.
The technical winner, yeah.
The technical winner. And I gave you my recommendations for the year of 2016.
Like,
we're going back 2 years, apparently. No, 2018. Spider-Man, Manatee of the Year.
I don't know how to end it, folks. I got nothing. I just got anger inside of me.
Do we do the usual? This is a bonus episode.
I think it's just a bonus. Like, have a nice day. Let's not promote anything.
Don't want to promote anything? Well, I'm at T-Man Plays Games. Because I had a lot of opinions on games, and if for some reason you want to find me on Twitter to yell at me because I gave Spider-Man Game of the Year instead of Red Dead Redemption 2, even though I didn't play it, you can do that. But I'm still going to give Spider-Man Game of the Year.
And then, I guess, since you introduced or gave your stuff, I guess they can yell at me at the Z is Silent on Twitter for, like, the technical knockout of Civ 6. But again... Can't argue with me. I tried. It's just they were all made previously. So, sorry. But all yeah. Right. And what's your website? Because you had reviews of these games.
Oh, yeah. I did review a bunch of these games. So if you go to tmanwrites.com, you can find my reviews in there. I think if you search for the review tag, you'll get The Messenger, Spider-Man, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, a couple others. And yeah, you can see a little more wordy thoughts on the games that I like this year. So thanks for listening, and see you in the new year, I guess.
Yeah, thanks for sticking around.